It's really great to worship with you, and I'm happy to be here, happy you came too. So for this message, I tried to keep it pretty well contained. There's probably enough material to go at length, but I really just want to give some high points for you to take away, and then meditate on some scriptures through the long weekend for yourself. So I've printed out like a summary slide, and I put it at the back where you come in and take the books at Breaking of Bread, just that back table over there. So if you want a summary page, you can go get one now, or you can take one on your way out. Easter means emptied, so the alliteration is to try and help remember. Easter means emptied, and we'll get into what that is supposed to mean. All right, so this will be light, right? So what is Easter holidays all about? Is it like this? Just yell it out. No. So it's not about that. Well, what is Good Friday all about? You can yell it out if you want to, or not. It's a day to commemorate, yeah, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Maybe I didn't print enough, eh? That's fine, share. And I don't know, I'll print, or I don't know, take a picture with your phone of someone who has it. Good Friday. It's a day to commemorate the crucifixion specifically, so like Maundy Thursday is sort of the Last Supper. Good Friday is like the crucifixion. And then what's Easter Sunday all about?
Resurrection.
The resurrection, hallelujah. So you got it, 2 points for Sam. And so, you know, not getting into too many details, but is the specific name or date of the holiday very important for Christians? Not really, actually. Like, you know, of note, the word Easter does not occur in the Bible, and it doesn't, like, in terms of calendar, it's a movable thing, so it's not lining up with Passover, which is not movable. So, you know, we spend time remembering these things about Jesus' life every single week. So it's really nice to have some extra time off, of course, and have some special gatherings, and especially spend time thinking about these things. But you know, it's like the word Easter and the Easter Bunny is all just like, you know, whatever. So what is it all about? It's about the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, of course. And so there's probably no passage in the Bible that gets to the heart of Good Friday more quickly than these verses in Romans 5, which say, "For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man, if such a thing exists, someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, that in while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him." This is the heart of the gospel, that while we were still sinners in our unrighteousness, while we were lost and without hope, Christ died for us at just the right time. And so I want to point out sort of the idea of his blood and the wrath of God. And what more can we know, or what more can we say from the Bible about the blood of Christ and the wrath of God? So we could go back probably 3,500-ish years ago, and I've built for you a picture, a timeline, and it's illustrative. It's not authoritative. I didn't really research the exact numbers too long. They're approximate. So feel free to correct me if you want. But you know very well the account in Exodus 12 of the Passover lamb, where each family of the Israelites would take the blood of the Passover lamb and put it on their doorposts. And then when the Lord sees the blood, he passes over that house. And the blood was a covering for that house, and the wrath of God passes over those who are covered. I know you know that passage very well, so I'm not going to get into great detail in that, but I think it's relevant. But I'll give you some take-home trivia. So don't answer if you know don't like yell out the answer if you know, okay? Here's the trivia. In Exodus 12, what were the Israelites to do with the basin of blood after they marked their door? It may not be directly spelled out, but you can go and look at Exodus 12 and see if you have any thoughts as to what you think they might have done or what you think God may have instructed. That's kind of the flavor of this, is like, take it home with you, and you can look at the scriptures at home. So, but let's look at Numbers 15 then, the other point on this timeline, which is still with Moses and the life of Moses. And it says this: Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the sons of Israel and say to them, when you enter the land where you are to live, which I am giving you, then make an offering by fire to the Lord, a burnt offering or a sacrifice to fulfill a special vow, or as a free will offering, or in your appointed times to make a soothing aroma to the Lord from the herd or from the flock. The one who presents his offering shall present to the Lord a grain offering of 1/10 of a ephah of fine flour mixed with 1/4 of a hin of oil, and you shall prepare wine for the drink offering, 1/4 of a hin with the burnt offering or for the sacrifice for each lamb." So after the Exodus from Egypt, God rolled out and instituted a lot of laws and the sacrificial system in general. And I guess in modern parlance, you might say like soft launched, because things kind of progressively grew, and there was like some initial laws, and then they grew more and more and more as we keep reading through like Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And it adds up to a lot, and there's many different sacrifices, and in some sacrifices there is a drink offering. Not in all types of sacrifices, but it's not exactly spelled out here, but I believe what this means would be to put these offerings that are mentioned, like an animal and this grain mixed with oil and this wine, into the fire, because that would make an aroma when you do that. There are probably different views on it, but that's what I think this is saying. And you know, the Jewish system of worship, it was very, very specific. The instructions on how to worship God and how to be God's people were they came like an avalanche in detail, and exact specifications on how to build the tabernacle, exact specifications on how to build the altar and how to build the furniture inside the tabernacle and where to put it and how to perform different forms of sacrifice. And why so much detail? Why so specific? Well, one reason why I believe that these instructions were so precise is because many elements of the law given by Moses point to Christ with great precision. So the reason the instructions and the reason why the law is so precise is because they point to Christ with such great precision. They're pictures or symbols that represent something else, something greater, or someone greater, I should say. And so here we see the lamb for sacrifice as a burnt offering, and the wine poured out over the fire. And, you know, just keep that in mind, that picture of this container of wine, this drink offering, poured out over the fire. And as far as I can tell, it's the free will offerings that are listed here to fulfill a special vow or free will offering and for appointed times. There's not a drink offering for every kind of sacrifice, but there is for a free will offering. Okay, so continuing on, what does this have to do with the blood? Well, the wine is a picture of the blood. And so about 500 years later, very different circumstances, King David authors Psalm 22. Israel is now a very established nation. They're not runaway slaves living in tents into the wilderness. They're established as a nation. They've had a king. They're having another king. And you know how much the world changes in 500 years. Most countries that are in existence today didn't exist 500 years ago. And it's amazing that these scriptures could ever make sense together. Psalm 22, I've got some select verses here, but you can read the whole chapter later at your convenience. First one for the choir director upon Ayaleth Hashashar. A psalm of David, my God, why have you forsaken me? Far from my deliverance are the words of my groaning. Oh, my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night I have no rest. Verse 6. But I am a worm and not a man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. Verse 14, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, it is melted within me. I am poured out like water. And this psalm is plainly a messianic psalm. This psalm, somehow, David spoke very clearly about the pain and exhaustion that people experienced when they were crucified from like a subjective standpoint. Like somehow, even though crucifixion didn't exist as a form of execution yet, it's so striking. And in particular, we see in verse 14 that the Messiah is poured out like water. And you could think of like one of the seven sayings of Christ on the cross. He said, I thirst, right? And at one point, he refused a drink when it was offered to him because he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? Which is directly in this psalm. And some people in the crowd thought maybe he's calling for Elijah to come save him. And I think probably to try and prolong his execution and to see if he would survive longer and then make another miracle happen, like for the spectacle almost, I think they offered Jesus drink at that moment and he refused it. But then later he said, I thirst. And you can research the details of crucifixion and how it affects the circulation system, and sometimes cardiac arrest is how the body finally fails. And just that suffering, I am poured out like water, like this exhaustion and thirst. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. Like your heart just can't, it just can't keep circulating blood because it's so taxing. That's what Jesus was like experiencing physically on the cross, but that's not even all. So fast forward a couple more hundred years and Israel is like going into exile as a nation, starting with the northern kingdom, with the Assyrians, and then Judah in stages with the Babylonians. And you know how much the world changes in 200 or 300 years. It's a different place. It's a different time, and it's a different author, and it would be amazing if, through all these differences, if the scriptures made sense together. And Isaiah says this in verse 3. He says, he was despised and forsaken of men. I thought we just read that. A man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we did not esteem him. Skipping to verse 11. As a result of the anguish of his soul, we will see it, he will see it and be satisfied. Sorry. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, as he will bear their iniquities. In verse 12, therefore I will allot him a portion with the great, and he will divide the booty with the strong, because he poured out himself to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he himself bore the sin of many and interceded for the transgressors. In verse 12, it says, because he poured out himself to death. And maybe there's no chapter in the Old Testament that speaks so clearly of Messiah. The phrase poured out, you know, literally means emptied or to make emptied, hence the title of the message. Easter means emptied. And I especially like the NIV translation, which says, he poured out his life unto death. Or King James says, he hath poured out his soul unto death. And the NASB says, he poured out himself to death. It is clear that Jesus did so much more than just physically die on the cross at Golgotha. In fact, he bore the wrath of God. And like a burning fire, that wrath is the punishment for all sins of all humanity. And he bore it on that tree at Calvary, and he bore it for you, and he bore it for me. And this is an important detail. Jesus did it under his own free will. No one could take the life of the Christ away. He's God. He's equal with God. He poured it out himself, is what it says. He poured out himself. And remember how it seems like there was only ever a drink offering in the free will offering. And it's just amazing that scripture just seems to make sense together, because these are different authors and these are different times. And like, if you gave me something from like 500 years ago, I wouldn't be able to read it, because English didn't like exist as a language as it does today. And how is it that just like one story and one testimony comes from this amazing book? The Bible has such profound testimony because of its continuity, many different times, places, cultures, languages, and authors, all different, but it all makes sense together. And in Luke 22, verse 19, it says, and when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. That's me. That's us. Christ poured out for us. That's Good Friday. That's the crucifixion. But much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. The Bible speaks for itself. It's an amazing testimony. It tells the story of Christ and how he poured his blood on the fire of the wrath of God so that we don't have to experience that wrath. And that's the gospel. There's salvation in there. And I just thank God that, you know, we have the scriptures and we can worship and freedom from sin, and that there's just power in that blood. And so I really enjoyed looking over the blood poured out and the testimony in scripture that there is there. There's that great hymn that we sing, my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one, his wounds for me shall plead. My heart is leaning on the word, the written word of God, salvation by my Savior's name, salvation through his blood. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. So what's Easter all about? I mean, I focused really on Good Friday, on the crucifixion, and it's good to meditate on these things. It provides conviction every time we deepen our faith by thinking about Christ and thinking about his amazing sacrifice. It deepens our faith, and it provides us the ability to live according to God's word, because it strengthens our faith and it provides us with more conviction to think about the depth of his sacrifice. Increases the depth of my life. And so there's lots more that could be said about the resurrection and Easter Sunday's coming, you know, and I'm sure we'll hear lots more. And you can go and look in Psalm 22 and Isaiah 53 alone. There's dozens of astonishing details, very specific, prophetically pointing to Christ and his death and his resurrection. And so, you know, this to me is the central event of the universe. Like, I used to, you know, have to sit through physics classes and think about celestial bodies in motion and think about relativity and things like that and look at math, and I don't have to do that much anymore. But I remember thinking, like, you know, we've got this universe, but, like, where's the middle? Well, only the Bible can tell you that, I think. Physics can never tell you. I would say that in time and in space, at least in importance, to me, this is where this is the thing that matters. This is the central event of the universe. Take a printout if you can get one. I have a couple more here, and meditate as you go, kind of, you know, like they pass over dressed to go. So you're going to be on the road, you're going to be cooking, you're going to be eating, you're going to be spending time with family, and that's great. And I'm going to do that too. And meditate as you go is my advice, and to try and help with just the alliteration there. Easter means emptied or poured out. He poured out his life onto death. 3 days later, took it up again because it was his. And so that's all I have. And Lord bless you, and let's continue in worship and